I didn't forget. My granddaughter reminded me I was supposed to get up here and preach. Well, we're gathered here today to ordain Brother Jeff Curry as an elder in this church. I've entitled this message, A Message for Elders, for the elders, but there's something in it for everyone, as there always is in the Word of God. Our text is out of Acts 20, verses 17 through 38. Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to them, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when He had said these things, He knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." Father, I thank you so much for the witness of your word and especially the witness of the Holy Spirit. I ask you to bless this day these people that have gathered to witness the ordination of this brother as an elder in this church. Father, I pray that as we hear your word, that you will speak to each one of us individually, elders and non-elders alike, as to our obligation to the church, the body of Christ, and foremost to you, that we will always recognize and lift up Jesus Christ as the head of the church and our example. We ask you this in His holy name. Amen. An elder, the word literally means an older person. In the Old Testament, it was a designated leader in the Jewish community, and it could be men or women. Now, the concept of elder is not unique to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we find that when Moses finally realized he couldn't carry the burden alone, as he was trying to lead almost 6 million people estimated across the desert into Canaan, that he basically told God, I can't handle this on my own. And God said, Moses, I want you to pick 70 men, and I will give them of the Spirit that's on you, and they will assist you. Ben Merle, when I went to his talk about eldership in the church, brought out a point I'd never thought about. Moses was called to lead the children of Israel into Canaan. The elders were called to assist Moses in leading the children of Israel into Canaan. Sometimes, sad to say, in the Christian churches, we get things a little backwards. We think that the elders are the called ones. The ministers are the ones that are hired and fired by the will of the elders. And they're going to decide who will and will not minister in the church. So the elder's an appointed, ordained office, and the minister's a hired hand. Ben Merle rebuked the Christian church for that attitude when I was at that seminar and said that is ungodly and unscriptural. In fact, in the New Testament, you see where the ministers are the ones who are told to appoint elders. The ministers had a lot to say about who the elders in the church were, and the ministers themselves were elders. I know that's kind of a new thought in the Christian church, or seems to be, but that's as old as the church itself. Now, I'm an ordained elder in this church. That's as it should be. I am a minister. Some call me pastor. I listened to a message at the last men's fellowship where this brother from Arkansas said, that's unscriptural and you won't hear us call our preacher pastor. Well, pastor is just a word. It is used, one of the descriptive words used to describe an elder. In fact, people in this church, there are some that call me pastor, and that's fine, but I'm not the only pastor in this church. We have several. You ought to be fortunate, or consider yourselves fortunate, that you have as many pastors in this church as you do for the size of our congregation. Paul said, if any man desires the office of elder, he desires a noble task. And he gave Timothy, a young minister who was called the first bishop at the church of Ephesus, he gave him some qualifications for elder. Nowhere did I read where he said he has to be a perfect man who never makes a mistake. Because if that was a qualification, it would be an empty office within the church. Yeah, it would. And I am so glad that Paul never gave that as a qualification. But he lays some qualifications down. Adam Clark defines an elder as one who examines the spiritual state of the flock of God and takes care to lead them in and out to find pasture. Paul told Timothy that an elder had to be a man of spiritual maturity. He could not be a recent convert because there is a great responsibility goes with this office. It's an office in the church. He said that this man must have a good reputation. Now again, he didn't say spotless, he didn't say sinless, he didn't say perfect, but he said he has to be a man of good reputation. He has to be a one-woman man if he's married. There's been a lot of controversy over that in the churches. The Greek literally says one-woman man. And the implication in the Greek is he cannot be a man who flirts with women. He must be faithful to his wife. He has to set an example of fidelity within the church that he can be faithful to one woman. It doesn't necessarily mean whether he's been married and divorced, although in some churches that has a lot to do with it. But that's merely an interpretation of opinion, not the Word of God. I know that because I've researched it, because I was married and divorced at a young age, and I've been remarried now for 35 years. I never stuck with anything that long. Paul told Timothy that this man could not be a drunkard. He must be sober. The King James says, given too much wine. Now, Paul didn't say an elder could not drink. But the Greek there, a drunkard, means he cannot be dependent on alcohol. And if you got to take a shot to calm your nerves, that's dependency on alcohol. Alcohol's your God, not the Holy Spirit. I'm just being as upfront and honest with you as I know how to be. Paul said this man must be sober, not a drunkard. The Bible says drunkards do not have any inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. Again, that is what we call an alcoholic, one who is dependent upon alcohol. He also says that he cannot be a quick-tempered man. In other words, his temper cannot control him. He must be able to control his temper. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. In the office of elder, you're going to have a lot of chances to control that temper. Because people think sometimes that an elder is a sounding board. And when I don't like something, I'm going to go tell the elder. Whether it's the music or the way somebody dresses or the way they wear their hair or the color of the carpet, the elder's there for a sounding board. Now, I understand that as a minister that we are here to listen to you. But sometimes people come to elders with things that don't belong to elders. You need to talk to the song leader about whether you like music or not. See what I'm getting at? Elders aren't fix-it-alls. Sometimes you think they are. Remember, they are in charge of overseeing the spiritual well-being of the flock. And sometimes the way Susie Q wears her hair has nothing to do with the spiritual well-being of the flock. Go talk to Susie Q. Don't talk to the elder about the way she wears her hair. If that offends you, go talk to her. He says that an elder must be gentle, not quarrelsome. That's another virtue you need to pray for as an elder. I pray for it all the time. God, give me gentleness. My prayer as an elder is that God will give me the heart of a shepherd. Shepherd lead. They don't drive the sheep, they lead. And boy, that's what we need. An elder needs to understand that he is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head. He is the chief shepherd. Another word for elder that Paul uses in this text is overseer, which also translates bishop. Now, in some churches, a bishop is a guy that's the head over several churches. Different churches answer to him. Different elders in the presbytery answer to a bishop. But in the original church, a bishop was an elder. The word means overseer, one who sees over the spiritual welfare of the church. In his farewell address to the elders, all Paul's trying to do is to remind them of what their obligation both to God and to the church is in this office of eldership. He reminds the elder that the church is God's purchased possession, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not your church, elder. It's the church of Jesus Christ. You are not the head. Jesus Christ is the head. You work for Him. You're not the hireling. Jesus said when the hireling sees a wolf come, he'll run. The elder is called to stand and fight against the wolf. And the sad thing is, as Paul said many times, the wolves come from within the flock. Brother, that's the hardest wolf to defend against. The ones that come in from the outside are easy to spot and easy to defend. But it's the wolves that come in from among the inside that are the hardest ones to defend against. Jesus said that many wolves look like sheep. He said in the book of Matthew, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." See, Jesus said they look like sheep, they talk like sheep, they smell like sheep, they act like sheep, but they're wolves. The wolf comes to scatter the flock, to create discord and disharmony. The wolf comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, "Well, what you got to watch for, man of God, is that very often the wolf is dressed like a sheep." Sometimes being an elder can be one of the loneliest positions a man can hold within the church, because sometimes you may be forced to stand against family and friends and popular opinion. You do not have What's the word I want? You do not have the option of bowing out and saying, I'm not going to be an elder in this case. You don't have that. As an elder, you're responsible for the whole flock. Whether it's your wife, your cousin, your aunt, or brother or sister in Christ, you're responsible. You don't get the luxury of saying, well, I'm not going to be an elder in this case. And sometimes it's a very lonely place. You feel like the whole world's against you. And they're not. Peter said, don't think it's strange at these trials that you come up on. And I want to promise you something, brother, as an elder, the trials are going to come. Satan knows if he can shake the leadership of the church, the rest is going to fall into place. Now, I'm not trying to talk you out of this, but I want to do what Jesus did. He gives us a very honest look at what it means to follow Him and what it means to be a leader in His church. Christian and I have been talking on Wednesday nights about the call of Jesus. Nowhere do you read where Jesus says, come follow me and you'll never have a bit of problems. Everybody will like you. You'll get along with everybody. You'll never have to say anything that offends anyone. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you better take up your cross because I'm asking you to die. Die to yourself so you can live for me. He said, I didn't come here to bring peace but a sword. And a man's enemies could very well be those of his own family. That's cold. That's sobering. So Paul said in the church, the elder cannot be a man who is easily bought or can be bought. He said, I didn't covet anyone's gold or silver or their clothing. You see, an elder has to make judgment calls sometimes. And God in the Old Testament had as much rebuke for the elders as He did for the kings, the priests, and the teachers of the law. He held them just as responsible for the spiritual health of the flock as He did the priest, the kings, and the prophets. God called them sleeping dogs in one section. How unflattering. A dog was an unclean animal. And He said the elders in that time had become so complacent, God said they can't even bark when they see danger coming. So Paul says, elder, you have to be alert. That doesn't mean you're on a witch hunt. That doesn't mean you look for a demon behind every bush or doctrine. But it means you be sober and you be alert and you understand what your office is as an elder. It's not just an administrator. It's not just someone that's going to make financial decisions or say what color carpeting we'll have. An elder is someone who is to guard the flock against attack, against false doctrine. He is a supporter of the truth. He is a disciple of the truth. Jesus said, the one that's a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, he'll leave the sheep and he'll flee because he doesn't care for them. You don't have that luxury, elder. You are a shepherd. That's another Greek word for elder. There's an overseer, there's the shepherd, there's the pastor. You have the privilege that the Holy Spirit has given you to be the overseer of God's flock, and you will answer to God for that flock. If you did not protect the flock, you will answer to God. If you protected the flock, you'll be rewarded. Peter said there is a crown for the elders who overcome. People's asked me, do I think there's rewards in heaven and levels? I don't know. But one thing I do know is the Bible says any man that has successfully served as an elder will receive an unfading crown of glory. It is an office that is to be respected within the body of Christ, not belittled, not talked about, not gossiped about, but supported. Church, if you can't be part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. You need to realize that with elders. If you don't like what the elders do, lift them up and pray. Don't be the devil's advocate and speak against them. Because he's the one that's trying to destroy the flock and scatter it. He's the original wolf. Paul said they are to be men of integrity. They cannot be bought. They stand on their decisions. They base their decisions on the Word of God. They are men who lead by example. Now, as I said beginning, Paul didn't say they're sinless, perfect men. Elders are going to make mistakes. They're men. They are going to let you down. But remember, in the body of Christ, we're called to pray for one another and lift one another up. Not circle in like sharks and feed when an elder makes a mistake. Paul said, "You know that these hands have ministered to my necessities, and those who were with me in all things, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak." See, an elder has to be a man who sets the example. It doesn't do any good, elder, to be able to know the Word and quote the Word, but don't live the Word. You have to be a man of the Word and a man of integrity, and sometimes that's a very lonely place. But boy, what a reward. Somebody one time I was talking to a while back, they said, "You're a preacher." I said, "Yeah." They said, "That doesn't pay much, does it?" I said, "No, but man, the retirement benefits are great." That's what I'm looking forward to, is a retirement. But boy, it's full of trials. Now, it almost sounds like I'm trying to talk his brother out of being an elder. I'm not trying to talk him out of it, but I want him to come in this with both eyes open. There is such a reward in getting to work alongside of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit guiding you and being an overseer of the flock, but it's also one of the most humbling things you'll ever do in your life. It's something that should draw you closer to God, never drive you away. It'll draw you close. Because you'll begin to say, "God, these are your sheep. Sometimes I want to drown them in the dip, but God says those are my sheep." You don't drown them, you don't drive them, you lead by example. He'll give you discernment. You're going to need discernment. Because sometimes there'll be things come in that's going to sound Christian and look Christian and act Christian, and there won't be anything Christian about them. You need the discernment of the Holy Spirit to understand that. Always let Him be your guide. The elder must be a man of the Word. Paul, to these elders, he said, "You're not going to see me again." And Paul didn't say, "Everything's going to fall apart when I leave. You poor guys, you don't have enough sense to cross the street by yourselves." Paul said, "I commend you to God's grace and to the Word of His grace." Paul knew the secret. He said, "Elders, be men of the Word. That's how you lead." And I want to remind you of a truth that I learned in Bible college, and I don't remember who said it. He cannot lead who will not follow. You must be a man of the Word of God. And that's going to make you a humble man. So many times when I thought I've had the answer and had things figured out, all I had to do was go to the Word and find out I didn't know everything I thought I knew. And I can say with one preacher friend of mine, "I don't know all I know about that." That almost sounds like politics, but it's a good way to be. Paul told Titus he must hold firm to the trustworthy Word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Sometimes as an elder you have to rebuke, and that's never a pleasant task. And if you do take pleasure in it, something's wrong. Everything I read of discipline in the Scriptures within the church body that the elders are responsible for, it's never to drive someone away. It's always to bring them to a knowledge of repentance. Sometimes people choose to go away. I don't read where you're supposed to chase after them. Sometimes you turn them over to Satan, Paul says. Well, that sounds cold. But always, what you're hoping for is that they'll come to the knowledge of repentance and come to Christ. Not you, to Christ. And you're one of the people that get to help with this. It's a joyous office to hold within the church. We don't wear certain vestures in this church to distinguish us as elders. We let the Holy Spirit do that. Brother Jeff, would you come forward, please? I would ask all the elders who will to come forward as we ordain this brother to this office in the church. The Bible talks about laying on of hands. This is how we ordain men in the Church of Jesus Christ. Righteous Heavenly Father, we bring this brother before you who has desired this office. And Lord, we have tested him and found him to be sound in the faith and a man of maturity. And we commend him to you in the word of your grace. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to fill him afresh and anew with your Spirit, to make him a man of God, to protect him from the assaults of the enemy, protect his family from the things that may come. Father, that he will grow closer to you in knowledge and in grace and in love and be a man of God that you can use for your glory in this office. I ask that you would give him the heart of a shepherd, that he may know how to lead your sheep. Help him to be a man of integrity, Father, a man of his word that men can look up to and trust, an example that can be set in this church, not for his glory, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. We ask it in his holy name, and we ordain him in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. After the service, please shake the hand of your newest elder. I preach very solemn about this office because it is a very solemn office. If you're here this morning and you've never received what Christ did for you on the cross, this whole service has been geared towards that, centered around it. We'd like to invite you to come forward and let us talk with you about what it means to become a Christian. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, and I know a lot of us are struggling, then I ask that you lay that at the feet of Christ before you walk out of here. Don't carry it any further. I'm going to ask especially that you be in prayer for Susan and the boys. I didn't know Leo passed away till today. I knew he'd been sick, but just be praying for them that God will strengthen them and give them courage to get through this time. Why don't you stand with us as we sing our song of